Well, God, morning to you. And I welcome you back to the God School. This today is not an evangelical message, that is, speaking to those who don't know Christ yet, but it is a message to those who have not only met Christ, but by faith are in Christ. It is a message to encourage the Christian. It is a message to encourage the church, that is, a people who belong to the Lord. It is a message to those who are in Christ Jesus and how do we get in Christ Jesus? We get in Him when He's in us. And the 8th chapter of the book of Romans declares that Christ is formed in our heart by faith. Ephesians tells us that Christ dwelleth in us by faith. Now, a description of faith is found in the first verse of the 11th chapter of Hebrews. It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And this book of God, which we call the Bible, tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And from the time that Adam and Eve trusted Satan and not God, that God has been forever looking for those individuals who will trust Him. Now, I said Hebrews 11:1 is a description of faith. The definition of the New Testament word translated faith is the Greek word is pisteo, and its definition is axiomatic. It is an action based upon belief, sustained by confidence. As those who are in Christ we have access to all the promises of God. Another short definition of that word faith is acting on the promises of God. And 2 Corinthians 1:20 tells us that all the promises of God are in Him, that is, in Christ, yea, and in Him, amen, that is, no doubt. And we have this Bible, this written document, wherein God is revealing Himself to us showing Himself faithful, and one man spent a lifetime searching out the promises of God. He found that there are over 8,800 promises in this book, any one of which, as those who are in Christ, we have permission, we have a license to grab hold of those promises and act as though God made them personally to each and every one of His, that is, His people. I want you to open your Bibles to the 40th chapter of the book of Isaiah. Now, at the Bible Museum, some of you know, through our restoration process of restoring old Bibles, which are incomplete, we make every attempt to make them complete with original, if you will, sister printings from fragments of Bibles which are hundreds of years old. To restore them to their original state. And through those fragments, we've acquired thousands of leaves and make them available to people over the internet. They're at various prices. Now, this is not a message of selling Bible pages. I'm just trying to draw out a point. One of the most favored, one of the most requested passages of Scripture is found in this 40th chapter of Isaiah. It's found in the 31st verse of that chapter. It reads, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint." It is a most wonderful promise of God. And it is available to those who are in a trusting relationship, relying on God, and to those who put no doubt in that promise. These are called His people. That is God's people. That is the Lord's people. That is the church. I'm not sure how far we're going to go this morning, but with God's help, I want to open up this whole chapter 40 of the book of Isaiah. It opens and says, "Comfort ye." God is instructing Isaiah, comfort ye my people, saith your God. I am convinced this is the job. This is the stewardship God has given to those He calls His gifts to the church, that is, to the apostles, to the prophets, to the evangelists, to the pastors, the pastors, and teachers, that they might edify, that is, bring to understanding God's word, whereby the confidence of His people will grow in their God and their faith might be, as the New Testament speaks of it, ever increasing. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. Now there's a marginal note that offers an alternative translation to this word warfare. It says appointed time. Isaiah is speaking in the 7th century, 8th century BC, in the middle and late 700s, that is, years before Christ. And there's a declaration made here that her warfare is accomplished. The word means one already completed. It comes from another point of view. It comes from the point of view of another. And it's a past act. We are here 2,700 years after this declaration is made. And if we used the eye of the flesh, we would say, what the hell is he talking about? Her warfare is completed. If you have any sense of history, if you have any sense of the history of God's people, you could easily argue, well, that's simply not true. But as we opened, and as God opened, he says, comfort ye my people. Oftentimes, the truths of God are paradoxical. That is, they are and are not at the same time. Using logic, one could easily argue with this statement. But God's word declares that our warfare is completed. And it is to the one trusting God, to the Father, which oftentimes is in opposition to logic, is in opposition to what we see, feel, or experience. But God's word declares our warfare is completed. How? That her iniquity is pardoned. I'm speaking to Christians this morning. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And the New Testament makes this promise of God that her iniquity, that her rebellion is pardoned. It says that Christ took upon himself our sins. Isaiah even says that later in the 53rd chapter. And that we are cleansed from all our sins by the blood of the Lamb, that is, by the life of the Lamb. That is, by Jesus Christ. Speak ye comfortably, that is, speak to the heart, to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is completed, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. I'm hesitating here. I'm going to leave that portion of verse 2 right where it is. If God so moves me, we'll go back in an attempt to exegete it. I don't have a complete understanding to talk to you about that yet. Third verse says, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. We find this verse attributed and quoted by John the Baptist a messenger preparing the way for the manifestation of the Son of God, who by the Holy Spirit was conceived in the likeness of sinning flesh, and yet knew no sin, John came immediately before the ministry John's ministry came immediately before the ministry of Jesus Christ. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. We're again in that paradoxical understanding. The word declares, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. That we live by dying. Are you feeling low? The word declares you shall be exalted. Are you feeling great about yourself? Like a mountain or a hill? You'll be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight. And the rough places plain. You see crookedness in your life? I know I do in mine. Do you have roughness in your life? Is a day or a week or a month or a year or whatever length of season, is it rough for you? God says, the crooked will be a straight place. And the rough places, a smooth place. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. What is the glory of the Lord? The apostles, after they were with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, they said, we beheld his glory. The glory of the Lord is Jesus Christ. And it says in the fifth verse, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. All flesh shall see together. That hasn't happened yet. But in his loving kindness, in his sovereignty, in his position of God, he has chosen to reveal it to his people now. That which he desires from us above everything else, faith, might come. He says there's a day coming where the glory that is Jesus Christ shall be revealed and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The voice said, that is, God's mouth said, cry. And he said, that is, Isaiah, what shall I cry? And the mouth of the Lord said, all flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth. The flower fadeth. Because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it, surely all people, surely the people is as grass. Not as, I'm sorry. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. The testimony of a Christian is not, look at me, look at what I've done, look at what I'm doing, look at how great I am. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth. I'm not defined, you're not defined by the life in the flesh, because the grass, it withers. It fades. The word of our God shall stand forever. Psalm 119, verse 89 says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And among other things that we Christians are citizens of heaven, seated with Christ Jesus. Where God's word is settled, where God's word is manifested, where the manifestation of that declaration that our warfare is accomplished and that our iniquity is pardoned is realized, is completed. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up to the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings, lift up the voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. The alternatives, translations to this is, bring good tidings, tell good tidings to Zion, tell good tidings to Jerusalem. And do it with strength. And be not afraid. And say, behold your God. This, for more than 10 years now, has been the reason and purpose for being for the God School, that we might behold our God. Because when we do, faith comes. And we get encouraged when we behold God and His faithfulness, that we might continue acting with confidence in God and His promises, Jesus said, when I come, when He's speaking of His second coming, and He will come, He said, will I find faith on the earth? And the 10th chapter of Romans declares unto us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Behold, it says in the 10th verse, the Lord God will come. With strong hand, his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him. And his work is before him. Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. That is none other than the person of Jesus Christ. Whom God has given all authority to, he shall rule and reign And it says, behold, his reward is with him. What is God's reward? It is his people. It says of the people of God that we are his inheritance. For all that God has done, for all that God is doing, for all that God will do, his reward is a people who will trust him, who will make his word of promise more real than anything in their lives, who will say to God, and to his word, amen. That is, no doubt, God has declared through Isaiah that our warfare is accomplished. We get the Apostle Paul telling us of the warfare, of the perpetual warfare between the flesh and the spirit. It says, the flesh warreth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. Who's right? Paradoxically, both. God says the warfare is accomplished. Paul says the warfare is ongoing. But we, as his people, don't deny the truth of the warfare between the flesh and the spirit, but having all confidence in the word of God, grab hold of that promise. The warfare, from God's point of view, through Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ, is completed. That's why we have, and I believe by the authority of Scripture, bear with me for a moment. The 5th chapter of Galatians, the 16th verse, King James translates it, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Dr. Gene Scott, using the authority of the whole Word of God, using I'm not going to attribute that to Dr. Scott. I'm going to attribute the better translation. I can attribute it to that first verse or second verse of Isaiah 40, wherein it says the warfare is accomplished. A better translation says, walk in the Spirit and the flesh will not have the last word. How do you walk in the Spirit? You walk by faith. We walk by grabbing hold and acting on the promises of God. And that's where we're going to leave off today. God willing, pick it up next week or next time. But for now, that's the God School for today.